Friends with brews?
I noticed when you started counting us down, the first finger I got was the middle finger.
Well, there was a delay.
I see. Okay. Well, it's not too late to tell you.
This job interview isn't about my credentials, it's about yours.
So I don't know if you want to start by flipping me off. But you can.
I can.
Oh, Peter. How have you been, Peter?
I've been good. I've been busy, but I've been good. Yeah, I just had some minor tech glitches, which were easily solved by a reboot. But I recently installed Steam on my laptop.
No, I think you meant Ste.
Well, my laptop meant Ste. Stia, if you will.
Stia.
Because my MacBook Air M2, the first M2 MacBook Air, the third key in a row now to start to fail is the M key. I forget which one's first.
I think you mean your MacBook Air 2.
My MacBook Air 2, exactly. Because there's no M, there's no MacBook, it's not Air.
What is happening with your keys? I don't understand. I thought these are not the old butterflies, whatever.
But they're failing. So I've got an appointment with a genius on Saturday.
Wow.
And so, yeah, we'll see what happens. But also, I installed Steam in hopes of playing Baldur's Gate 3 with my friends.
I've heard about that.
Yeah.
Friends, I mean. I've never heard anything about Baldur's Gate 3.
Right. Well, anyway, it's Dungeons & Dragons, but, ported to Steam, to Windows, to Mac, except the Mac version is very rough, so it's like a preview. It's not ready for prime time yet. And I've got two older Core i7s, and even though they, I forget which Core i7, because that name alone doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything at all.
Supposedly, the four digits that follow those letters, Core, and number Core i7, the four digits that I have on mine are higher than those four digits listed as the minimum system requirements. So I think that means that I meet the system requirements, but when I download something, I have bought a couple of games from Good Old Games, GOG.com. I did not buy this from GOG. I bought it through Steam. Why? Because Steam listed the Mac version on their website, whereas GOG did not. And I think it's just because Steam is like, yeah, it exists. Wink, wink. Whereas GOG was like, no, you can't actually play this. We're not going to offer you as a download.
Interesting.
So I set up an account on Steam, which was an annoying process. I finally purchased the game on Steam, which was an annoying process. I then had, when I went to run the game, I installed it on my two old machines. And this thing, it's like 124 or 129 gigabyte download. So this thing took hours to finally download and install. And then I finally got it installed, and I went to run it, and the first thing you have to... Oh, well, now that you've installed it, you need to set up an account with Larian Studios. So I guess that's the publisher. So I did that, and they're like, okay, well, now you have to link your Larian account to your Steam account, which I tried to do, but that page wouldn't render all the way, so I couldn't do that, so I couldn't start it.
Yeah.
So I started on a different computer, finally got in, finally got it all to load, and the thing, it's just like, it's how you would expect a game to play on a 10-year-old laptop. It's super choppy, it doesn't load all the way, you click on something, and there's like a 20-second lag, and then the character starts moving.
Is this a versus other people game?
I don't think it's made to be that way. It's generally, it's parties. No,
that's
it's
good,
yeah.
Because otherwise you would just lose. You would just be dead.
Yeah, I don't think they have a player versus player option, but it is multiplayer for sure. And one of the reasons that we got it is because you can play on a LAN still, and you can theoretically, when it's done, play on a Windows or a Mac.
Oh.
I just wish I had known that, I wish I had not bothered with Steam, because then the next thing that happened is I installed it on my Mac too. And as I'm booting up, Steam is like, oh, we have to boot up too. We're going to start. And oh, we've installed a new audio driver, which needs to. And I'm like, go away. I move it away. I start doing other stuff. And then the Steam window pops up in my face. And I'm like, calm. Serenity now.
Peter.
Let me ask you something. When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
Do you have a case of the Mondays?
Yeah, but it's Wednesday.
You have a case of the Undays. By the way, okay, before we go any further talking about our technology, we forgot to talk about these.
Yes, let's talk about these.
These being drinks. We are brews.
What are you drinking, Scott?
I'm drinking coffee today. I have a Trailhead Coffee Roasters Hingakawa, I don't know how it's pronounced. This is let me describe the coffee. This is basically a Rwanda coffee from what I understand. The coffee is amazing. We are beyond excited to have it in our wheelhouse. Apparently they've got it in a wheelhouse.
It's a weird place to keep your coffee, but okay.
I found it in Whole Foods. Drink it, love it, juicy with notes of papaya and brown sugar. Superb as a pour over. And a punchy little beast as, what's SO espresso? What's SO stand for, Mr. Coffee Guy?
Single origin.
Okay. As espresso, you might utter the following. Whoa, WTF dang, okay, yeah. See, I did the pour over, so I'm not uttering
WTF,
whoa,
dang,
WTF,
okay,
dang.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Okay, okay, yeah. Kind of punk rock that way, but quite delicious in the end. Anyway, so yeah, I guess I might have brewed it a tiny bit weak. I don't get the papaya for sure. The brown sugar, I could believe.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. It's good. It's not a bad coffee. It's just, I don't always pick up all the flavors they say I should pick up.
I mean, you might not, and I think that's okay. So, I got myself a new coffee grinder last week.
Ooh.
So I upgraded to the Fellows Opus conical burr grinder.
Okay, you had me at Opus.
Yeah. So I got that. And the reason I got it is I got this article on Wired, you know, saying here are the best coffee grinders. And I was like, okay, you know what? New job. Let's look around. Maybe now it's time to treat myself to something. And I found the one that was listed as the quietest one we tested, but also, you know, highly rated. So I was like, all right, let's check this thing out. Let's see what's going on. I got it, and it definitely has upped my coffee game. The coffee just tastes way better than it did using the, well, when I bought them, I think they were like $35 Mr. Coffee burr grinders.
Okay, I can believe that, yeah. It's probably a more consistent grind.
Oh, way more consistent. But this thing is way cool. So not only is it super quiet, it has like a little, the lid on it, when you flip it over, it has a little dividing line. So it's broken up into like approximately 20 grams and 40 grams. So you can choose like that if you like. It's made of some kind of anti-static material. I have not yet encountered any static so far. There's no coffee dust going around.
Oh, that would be nice.
The catch bucket that you grind into, and it all, you know, it grinds everything straight down, right? So as opposed to my Mr. Coffee ones, which ground them sideways, so I regularly had to clean that out.
That's ours. Yeah, the grinding takes place behind the hole that it shoves them through. Yeah.
Bingo. This seems to take place above.
That's what's happening.
It comes down into this little catch cup. Now, here's the cool thing. The surface on which the catch cup sits is magnetic. And so when you put the cup into place, it slides itself right into the right location. There's no clicking, there's no jamming, there's no clipping into place. It just finds itself, you know, like one finger, you're just slightly, it snaps into place. Oh, and it comes with a 30, 60, or 120 second grind. So you can just press it once, twice, three times. And then, when I'm done, I just lightly tap the unit on the side, and that seems to dislodge all the extra. Like one time, there was just a little dusting of coffee that had fallen through.
Yeah.
It's great. I'd use that. The only thing that's really changed is with the AeroPress, I now have to use the little extra funnel, the wide funnel from the AeroPress, and then I can just take the coffee out, dump it right in one shot, and it goes.
Dump it right in.
The coffee tastes noticeably better. So,
Peter. That sounds amazing. That design alone sounds amazing because ours is super noisy. It shoves the coffee grinds out the front like most of them do into the thing. The cup that it dumps them into is held in place by a little tab on the bottom, which means, what does that mean? It means that there's little tiny lines, perforations in the floor, and dust goes out onto your counter.
And your coffee grinder, I believe, when you got it, because I believe I was there, you got a very highly rated coffee grinder, right?
It was very highly rated, and yet it just annoys me in so many ways. Not so many ways. It annoys me in the two ways that I described, the noise and the mess. I have to put paper towels under there.
Mm-hmm.
I put a slightly damp paper towel under it so that when I shove the cup back in, all the grinds that it's going to shove out through those little holes don't wind up on my counter.
Okay.
And it's just annoying. It's a waste of paper towels, for one thing. It's a waste of...
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. I like the sounds of yours. Okay, I'm going to go search for it. It's called the Opus Magnum...
The brand is Fellows. Opus is the line, and it's a conical burr grinder.
Wait, Fellows makes, like, staplers and stuff.
I believe they do.
And shredders.
Yep. It might be the same one. Yeah. I don't know, but it's the same name regardless.
Maybe we can replace our paper shredder with this as well.
Maybe we could. Just shove paper right in there. I mean, you got to clean it out eventually somehow, right?
That's actually a pretty cool looking grinder.
Yeah. And what's even cooler is the grind. So yeah, it's pretty good. I'm very happy.
Good. Well, good. I don't think we paid that much less for ours. If we did pay less, even we might have even paid more.
It was definitely in the same range. Definitely in the same range. So
damn it. No, you won.
Well, I waited it out by what though? A year? so,
probably over a year at this point. Yeah.
Yeah, it was last May when I was out there. So yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, there you go. In other news, Carvana has increased the trade-in value of my Tesla. Went up to a couple $1,000 to 23.5. But after I got over the emotion, I've decided I'm going to hang on to the Tesla again. Because after all, it does have a brand new motor in it now. So
that is true. Yeah.
You know, so it's like, all right, I'm not going to say, you know, the like, what could possibly go, you know, sure, things could go wrong, but I'm going to just try to hang on to it a little more.
There is a lot to be said for not incurring a new car payment.
Bingo. And I'm still paying this one. This one has, I've got, I think, three more payments left on this one, but
you're almost there.
Once that's done, you know, once that's done, that's like an extra almost $1,000 in my pocket. So that
comes in handy. You could buy a couple burr grinders for that.
You could a couple good ones. So moving on to my brew, and spoiler alert, listener, this one is going to fall under our favorite category of if I were desperate. I have Athletic Brewing Company.
I remember them.
Oktoberfest Fest Brew.
See, it sounds good.
It does sound good. Wait, let's see. Does it sound? Let's find out. Yeah, that sounds okay. Yeah, let's find out.
Wow, that sounds very active.
I mean, that sounds good, right? So far, it sounds really good. Let's find out what happens when I drink it.
Well, so far, it's mostly foam.
Oh, it tastes just like every other Athletic Brewing beer that I've had. In other words, this tastes like a hoppy, non-alcoholic lager, or maybe even their IPA, just slightly less hoppy.
Oh, no.
On no planet, no continent, and certainly not if I was in Germany, would I call this an Oktoberfest.
If you tried to give somebody that in Germany, you'd probably get beaten up.
They would not call this an Oktoberfest. It doesn't look like... The can looks like an Oktoberfest. It's got the nice fall colors.
The can is beautiful.
The beer looks like a light lager.
I feel like they spent all their money on the cans and the design. And then just at the last minute, they're like, oh, we got to put something in there.
If we just package this differently, people will think it's an Oktoberfest. Yeah, that's great. Do it.
Hey, Frank, what are you doing over there peeing? Did you have beer before you peed? Yes. Scoop that up. We're putting it in this can.
I didn't say it was that bad.
Oh, okay. Well.
Ugh. Anyway, there you go. So that's my brew for today. And
so another thumbs down.
Yeah, if I were desperate.
So let me ask you this. Is that something someone gave you, or did you buy that?
No, I bought it.
You're hoping that maybe, because you're thinking at some point they've got to make something that's worth drinking.
Okay, remember, so I had the Athletic, their IPA, and again,
yeah,
if I was desperate, okay, you know, it's a non-alcoholic. But again, the only thing, it seems like the only thing these people understand is hops. That's the only flavor. The only flavor in their beers is hops. And that's kind of disappointing.
So, they're not the only ones.
Yeah. So there you go.
They're far from the only ones in the beer industry that have that. I like this can a lot better than their Run Wild one. Their Run Wild can does nothing for me.
Yeah. And, you know, as a runner, I thought, hey, Run Wild, maybe that. Nope.
Sure.
Nope. Didn't. Nope. It didn't.
Here's your review from the Run Wild. Dear God, why? Tastes like desperate regret. This thing makes me want to spit it out like poison.
Wow, I don't remember saying those words, but okay.
You did. You were very emotional about your...
I don't remember saying spit it out like poison. I'm going to have to go back and listen to that episode.
That's what I have typed in here, and I don't think I made that up.
Yeah, but that could have been you cloning me with 11 Labs for all I know.
No, I only did that once, and I don't think the 11 Labs drank anything that I recall.
So you say. Oh, man. One of the things that I played around with on my Mac recently was adjusting the visibility and the high contrast settings and things.
Mm-hmm.
So as you know, I think we've talked about before, like I'm colorblind. I have trouble distinguishing some shades of red from shades of green and, you know, therefore oranges and yellows, purples and blues, you know, etc. So I was playing around with all of my devices recently because I had set like the different, you know, color profiles on my phone. I never realized I could do that on my Mac also. So I was doing that. Mm-hmm. And while I was doing that, I found like the high contrast settings. And I've enabled a number of those. So a lot of my stuff looks kind of like it would if it was on a Mac Classic.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it looks really old school for most apps that support it, but it's a lot easier to read. So I'm like, you know, that's kind of cool. There's a lot more black and white, and the borders between things are just way clearer, way more clearly defined. So
yeah, that is one thing that modern Mac OS is not good at, is delineating some of that stuff. They make it hard to find certain elements, and they think that looks beautiful, but sometimes it just looks annoying.
Yep, we'll just hide these. It's great. You'll love it.
Discoverability, who needs it?
So the Run Wild IPA, Peter says, thumbs down, dear God, why? Tastes like desperate regret. What episode was that on, though?
It should say, oh, yes.
It should.
There's a problem. Oh, okay, I don't want to get into the technical reasons why I don't have the episode number on that page, but there is a technical reason.
Okay. I can't even search for episode.
No, you can. So if you go to the search and you type athletic, it should come up for the episode that it should.
Well, I searched for IPA. Yeah, no. If I look for athletic, I get no results.
Oh, I do. I get 8 results.
Yeah, I don't.
Oh, athlete. Athlete? Athletic?
Athlete?
No, I get 4 results for athletic.
All
right. A-T-H-L-E-T-I-C. How are you spelling it? Athletic doesn't have an E before the L.
Not athlete.
Yeah.
Athletic.
No, I get...
Desperate regret. Okay, I found it. Episode 11.
Yeah.
Got it. All right, I'll have to listen to Desperate Regret again. That'll be fun.
You were so desperate, I even named the episode after you.
That's a good one. I like that. So, all right, what else is new? What else do we want to cover today?
I don't know. What else is new? I'm writing a blog post very slowly about Raycast, and it's kind of interesting. I just wanted to highlight some of the things that I do with it so that people would have an idea of what kind of stuff it can do. And I'm already... Let me take a look here and see how many words I'm at. I'm already at 10,322. Oh, that's characters. I'm at 1,696 words, which is pretty long. So I'm kind of wrapping up the features, and then I'm going to talk about the pricing a little bit and stuff like that. But so I talk about how I will talk about in the future when it's published. How, yes, it's an app launcher, but I really don't like that term for these apps because these are more of a utility app to me than just an app launcher.
Right.
App launcher is one of the things they do, but it's only one of the things.
Exactly. This does a lot more than just launch apps, yes.
So I talk about the window management. I talk about the ChatGPT functionality. I talk about the snippets and how they can have dynamic placeholders. So, for example... If you have a command that you like to execute and it requires an IP address, but it's not always the same IP address, you can make a snippet that has a left, are those called tildes? The things right above the square brackets?
No, those are curly braces.
Yeah, so left curly brace, clipboard, right curly brace, and it'll put that in. It'll put in whatever's on the clipboard at runtime when you execute that snippet. And the neat thing is when you're searching your snippets, it gives you a preview based on what's in the clipboard. So you'll see exactly what it's going to paste into whatever your window is. So it looks kind of funny when you have Friends with Brews episode whatever selected, and then you're doing a search for the, who is this IP pipe to more command. And it says, who is Friends with Brews episode 37 pipe to more. It doesn't make any sense. Anyway, but the ability to have dynamic placeholders, something you and I would call variables, that's pretty cool. I talk about the searching Safari history, which I use all the time. There's a float your notes thing, which is a floating notes window. And you can just toggle this little floating notes window. It's visible or not visible. And I just use it for quickly writing down notes when I'm talking with someone or when I'm working in another window for something I don't want to forget. And I don't want to let it get away. But I also don't want to be searching for an app and failing to capture what's being said at the same time.
Floating notes window. This is a floating note. Okay. Right.
And I assigned an alias to it. So I don't have a keyboard shortcut for that, but I have an alias. TF, I think, is my...
Floating note is cool. Yeah, so this Raycast just keeps, like, every day it seems like you're telling me something new and cool.
Yeah, and I do other things, like it has a bunch of system things, like you can eject all disks, which I use when I'm going to undock my Mac. I just type, I just trigger Raycast and type EJ, and it brings up the eject all disks things. You can sleep displays, which sometimes I do when I want to walk away from the Mac. You can toggle Stage Manager if you want to use Stage Manager. I don't recommend it, but if you do, it's way better way to turn off Stage Manager for those cases where it absolutely breaks something than doing it the Apple way, which is a pain. And then there's a bunch of miscellaneous stuff that I'm going to put in here. There's a color picker, which I like. There's a bunch of stuff. Anyway, it's things like that where I just keep finding more and more things that it can do that I can take advantage of that I didn't realize it could do. And most importantly, I can play Wordle every day.
Wordle in Raycast?
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, there you go.
So anyway, I'm working on that. I'll send you a link to it when I publish it, and you can tell me it's too long, didn't read, or whatever.
Well, there was one tutorial I read. I don't even know if it was the official Raycast one. But there was one review I read, and it was like, these are all the things you can do. But it was just like a list of features and a screenshot. But I didn't know
why you would do it,
how to do, now that I've played with it for a little while, I gathered, you said, oh, you can toggle a floating notes window. I searched for notes, and the first thing that comes up is the Apple Notes app. I'm like, well, that's not what I mean. Well, he said floating notes. I searched for float. Oh, there it is. Floating notes. Okay.
But see, the good news is you can assign keyboard shortcuts to everything, of course. Which is a problem if you already use a lot of keyboard shortcuts on your Mac, because eventually you're going to run out of keyboard shortcuts, right? But you can also assign aliases, which means instead of just doing a keyboard shortcut to trigger something, you still have to pop open Raycast, but then you just type your alias real quick and it'll bring up. So if you think of toggle floating notes as TN, like toggle notes, yep. You just put the alias as TN. Then you pop open Raycast and you type TN and it brings it up. That way, whatever works for your brain to find
it,
you can set that as an alias.
So that's something I have not done yet, was you were using Raycast to do window placements.
Yeah.
How to replace windows and stuff.
Those I did use keyboard shortcuts for.
I have not gotten into that yet, because I don't even remember how to find those.
Just open Raycast and type window.
Window. Switch windows. There we go. Top right sixth. There you go. So if I just do... sixth. So what I was doing was I was
window six, window top, window. Yeah.
Yeah. I was using rectangle today and I was trying to, I had to click on rectangle and then I had to look and I was like, does it do six? Oh, yeah. There they are. Six way down there.
Right.
Click on that top left six. Got it. Okay. Boom. Got it. So now for Raycast, I can just type six.
Yep.
Top left six. I'll do top right sixth and move it over.
Yep.
Boom, and it moves it over to that.
Yeah,
side.
And the nice thing is I have keyboard shortcuts assigned to the really obvious ones. But then those other ones are there within Raycast if I want them. but I don't use them as much. So I don't have a keyboard shortcut assigned to them, but I can just type window and then like top, and it'll give me all the options of shoving it to the top in different ways, and window left, and it'll give me all the options, or, you know, thirds or sixth or whatever. And it gives you those options. So you don't have to assign a keyboard shortcut to all of them if you're going to run out of keyboard shortcuts, or you don't have a keyboard shortcut combination that makes sense to you for that window placement. But you can do it for your most used ones, and then for other ones where you just use them once in a while, just
look them
get
up.
It right out of Raycast. Yeah.
Yeah. And
it's way better than going up to the menu, clicking the thing.
Yeah.
I can hear John Syracuse talking about slowly moving the mouse. Oh, I got to open this.
Slowly, you know, when someone is, I got to grab the mouse. You ever watch someone else, you know, and they're like slowly moving the mouse cursor up there. And you're like, oh, God, just let me do it for you. Yeah, yeah, that's me.
By the way, what was I listening to you on? Was it you and I having a conversation? I don't remember. It was either a video conversation we were having, or it was blurring the lines. I can't remember. There was a moment where you slipped into John Syracuse's voice, almost, but not quite. And I don't think you were trying to, but it was great. I enjoyed it.
Happy to help.
Yeah.
Oh, brother. All right. What else we got?
I don't know. Probably nothing. How long have we been recording?
Well, then we should finish this on a high note. And that means I don't actually have to finish drinking this beer, which tastes like moderately desperate regret.
See, Vic asked when Vic was on and I didn't like my beer. I don't think it was last time, but it was time before that. And he asked what the protocol was. He said, am I going to go get a replacement beer? And I said, no, I'm going to keep drinking this one because it wasn't that bad. Mm-hmm. But for sure, if you just can't stand it, there's no point in keeping going.
Yeah, it's not worth the calories. I'm going to go out after this and I'm going to go to a local brewing company.
Oh.
I can't decide. I don't know yet if I want to go to Medford Brewing or if I want to go to this other place over in Malden called Faces.
Face plants?
No, Faces, not face plants, not face palms. No, just I've got to check. Well, I was going to say, I'll check Medford Brewing's website to see what, but then I remembered, wait, they don't list their beers on their website.
Remember, you have an AR, you have a task to go talk to them about their website.
I went there and I did talk to them and I told them, and I filled out their email, their contact form and emailed them and told them in person that, you know, you just put your beers on your website, you know, yep, still not there.
I know that you don't do a lot of website designs, but I feel like that's one that you should be willing to, depending on how much they want to pay you, but I feel like that one might not be a mistake to redesign for them.
They have some college kid doing it for them, so here's a good one. August 27th, Destination Library. Medford Public Library on 111 High Street. Medford Brewing will be pouring at the Medford Library's Maker Faire from 1 to 4 p.m. Our tap room will also be open that day. Beer at the library.
Oh, my God.
Those are two things I never would have... I'll go there.
Unless they get the librarians drunk first, there are going to be some angry librarians running around telling everyone to keep it down. It's going to be absolute insanity.
All right, let's call this.
Let's call it time of death.
Yes. Click. And big red button.
Tell your friends.